the devil's advocates. Because freedom!
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Got my little buddy Dom, got Fancy Brian, could have you on the phones as well. 844-967-2789. Dom, wanted to give you a little update on the Freedom Convoy. You know, first and foremost, this morning they took Ted Cruz riding. He was riding, you know, he's rolling in the Freedom Convoy, the lead rig.
Was he rolling in his 5.0 with the rig top down so his hair can blow?
Ted Cruz, go f*** yourself.
Yeah. Now, we've met Ted Cruz more than once. Once in Dean, Wisconsin. He has very slippery hands. And once in Ishiwaka, Indiana, the last day of his presidential candidacy, right? Effectively, he lost that day in Indiana.
Such a desperate man. And Trump won the nomination. He was so desperate. He literally walked into this diner with families eating and shook every single person's hand, whether they wanted him to or not. And some of the kids were like, "What?
Mommy!" He was invading lots of bubbles. "Mommy, make the greasy man go away." "I could smell the desperation, Mommy."
Oh, it was terrible.
Well, so anyways, they went rolling with Ted Cruz this morning. And then we've got another update brought to you by the Raw Story. A member of the People's Convoy that's been circling the Beltway around D.C. is not happy about the reception he's received from the local drivers.
Weird.
In a video posted to the Daily Beast, Zachary Patricio, a convoy trucker, complains that other drivers along the Beltway are giving him obscene gestures as they pass by. "You go around the Beltway, birds are flying everywhere. That's the kind of people that live up there, you know. It's a different world, D.C. It's a different world." The driver went on to say that, "We're trying to straighten D.C. out. We're trying to clean it up. That's what this is all about, trying to get it cleaned up."
Really? Is it because
we're going the wrong way?
We're going streaking to the quad. Everybody's doing it. I mean, is that what it's about? I guess I'm really not clear. They seem to have a litany of grievances that, you know, come and go. Depends on the day and who you're asking. I wonder where all the...
How would he know where we're going?
Exactly. Dominic, the convoy was inspired by the trucker protest that occurred last month in Canada against the government's vaccine mandates. However,
it's not clear
what this particular protest is about, since the Supreme Court struck down President Joe Biden's vaccine mandate and indoor mask requirements throughout the United States have been completely lifted in recent weeks. Doesn't mean they're not rolling round and round and round the I-495.
Well, see, now it's just a general straight, you know, cleaning up D.C. We're going to clean it up. What does that even mean? I mean, really, what? Obviously, you're not going to physically grab a broom and do something. Hell, half of your crew were taking dumps in the Capitol and wiping feces on the wall. So that's not really what that's all about. So what if you want to clean up? I'm assuming you mean, you know, what, vote out the bastards? Is that what you mean? Well, you driving your truck in circles doesn't do that. You engaging in your local community and running for office and, you know, doing something along those lines will have much more of an impact. And yeah, when you're driving like idiots and people don't like what you're doing, you know, yeah, they might flip you off. And if that bothers you, well, get some tougher skin, man.
Well, Dominic, they took yesterday off because it was kind of rainy. Apparently, some of them had some day drinking planned. I mean, they've only protested 4 of the last 5 days because, you know, they don't protest on rainy days.
They're so sweet,
they might melt.
Do we have any sense of what success looks like for the trucker convoy, or are they just hoping to get the 6.6 Trans Am from, you know, the East Coast to the West Coast as fast as possible?
Long way to go and a short time to get there. apparently, they perceive days like today and days like Tuesday as successful days. Because let's not forget, on Tuesday, U.S. Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin and your buddy Greasy Ted Cruz from Texas, well, they welcomed the truckers up to Capitol Hill, right? They gave them a hearing. And then today, Ted Cruz is grabbing the corn chips and, you know, a couple cans of Pepsi.
When you say they gave him a hearing, what do you mean? Like, they brought him into the Capitol and had a hearing? Or?
On Tuesday.
Oh, I was not aware of
Rojo and Ted Cruz brought the Freedom Convoy to the U.S. Senate building and gave them a hearing before the press. Now, I don't know if it was officially designated hearing because, you know, Ron's not a committee chair. He's only a subcommittee chair now. So, you know, I don't know if he had a subcommittee hearing or exactly how that works. But, you know, when they show up and they put them all at the rows and they bring in the press, it looks a lot like a hearing to me.
So they get so Ron and Raphael, the Ron and Raphael show, gave the truckers what they want. And I did read something that the truckers were very impressed. I mean,
notoriety.
They were happy to be received by two, you know, very respected senators.
And again. Ron Johnson and Ted Cruz.
Yeah. I gotta question the judgment. But you want to protest, knock yourself out. People flip you off, you know, it's a day in the life, baby.
I don't know.
Are you going to do about it?
I don't know what's wrong with those D.C. people. They're not like back home in Dixie. Did you see Michael Flynn went before the J6 committee today and pled the fifth?
Pled the fifth. I mean, don't only criminals do that?
I think so.
Something like that, right?
Well, those that would seek amnesty must be criminals.
When you are given immunity, that means that you've probably committed a crime.
But when you're pleading the fifth, you are specifically basically making the representation that to tell the truth you would incriminate yourself of a crime.
Yes.
You see, the mob takes the fifth.
Yeah, the mob does. I mean,
if you're innocent, why are you taking the Fifth Amendment?
That's a great question, former huckster Trump. Why don't you ask Flynn that?
During the deposition, committee staff insinuated that General Flynn's decision to decline to answer their questions constituted an admission of guilt. Yeah, kind of. Consistent with inaccurate similar statements from the committee chair about the invocation of the Fifth Amendment. That was what, you know, Flynn's counsel said today. But it isn't the committee that could be Flynn's biggest problem. And then they quoted Trump. The mob takes the fifth.
Thank you, Brian.
You're better than the article, Fancy Brian. What is that?
We got Trump kids. We have, you know, convicted, then pardoned Flynn, who, let's not forget, was convicted because what? He was lying to the FBI about his communications with the Russians. I mean, you know, the Russian thing just keeps popping up, doesn't it? And now everyone's taking the fifth because, what, they did something wrong? What about the Patriots? Don't you want to stand up? I mean, if something was wrong in this world, Flynn, why don't you stand up and show that committee what it's all about? Show them what it's like to be a true patriot. But no, he's just going to, you know, take the fifth because if I actually told you, then I might incriminate myself criminally.
No, that's not how they pleaded out in their pleadings, Dom.
No, okay.
To protect the innocent who otherwise might be ensnared by the ambiguous circumstances.
Ambiguous circumstances? Really?
Yeah, because ambiguously, if I tell the truth, I'm going to prison for a long time. 844-967-2789. Wisco Paul, how you doing, man?
Hey, Paulie.
Hey, Devils. Great show today. You know.
Yeah, you're welcome, Paul.
Okay. Hey, the GOP is kind of Putin-like. Well, actually, they are Putin-like. Rojo and Robin Voss. It's called ruling of the few over the many. And you know how crybaby they have gotten? Tony's Maps. You know what Tony's Maps? They can't even accept the fact that the Wisconsin Supreme Court said they're a go. And they're not that great of maps, for goodness sakes. So, you know, they went to the Wisconsin Supreme Court to get this ruling overthrown. Now they're going to the Wisconsin, they went to the Wisconsin Supreme Court to get that over. So now they're going to the U.S. Supreme Court. It's like, hey, there was one other thing that was brought up today that John Bolton, he was the, I forget what he did for Trump, but.
Tried to start wars mostly, but continue, Paul.
He had a big mustache for Trump.
Yeah.
Free mustache rides.
Well, apparently he said today that Putin didn't need to invade Ukraine because he had Trump in his back pocket. So, I'd take that for what it's
worth. Wait, Bolton said that today, Miskell?
Yes. Bolton also has made the recent statements that Putin expected Trump to withdraw from NATO during his second term. So, of course, there would have been no reason to invade the Ukraine until after the United States withdrew from NATO. And then, you know, all bets are off. But that's
so I want to be clear here. So the former national security advisor brought on by Donald Trump said of Donald Trump today.
You mean the one after Michael Flynn, the guy that pled the fifth today?
Right. The guy that pled the fifth and was convicted and then pardoned by the former president. Bolton, the former national security advisor, said today that the reason that happened is because Trump was in Putin's back pocket. And it's wow. I mean, we've been saying that forever, but wow. And Bolton, here's my question. When did you arrive at that conclusion, Mr. Bolton? You know, did you think about, was that happening when you were there?
Remember,
or did it just kind of come to your mind today?
Remember, if you recall our earlier conversation, Paul, thank you for your call. I don't mean to go on too many tangents here. But during our earlier conversation with Ron Johnson, the day after he voted to acquit, well, we asked him about John Bolton's accusations in the book. First and foremost, when he came back from the inauguration of Zelensky at the White House, and Ron Johnson was there, and so was John Bolton. Bolton was in the room and said that was when Trump connected the quid and the pro quo. And apparently, let's not forget, Bolton never gave testimony before the impeachment committee, wanted to be subpoenaed, right? That was even Rojo's explanation. And I said, well, you know, Rojo, wouldn't you have liked to get to the bottom of it? Hell, you were a material witness.
Right.
Wouldn't you have liked to give him a little bit of testimony? And Ron didn't seem, you know, real.
Wasn't too hip to that.
No,
huh?
didn't necessarily want to give any testimony.
No.
Got a very patient Mark from the sack out there. Let's get to him. Mark, welcome back. What do you got?
Hey, Mark.
Yeah, thanks, guys. And first off, forget a pleasantry. Give Maggie my love tomorrow if I haven't got a chance to call in. Because I understand she's going to be.
Yeah, it's going to be a big day tomorrow. Make sure you tune in. We got Maggie Dawn. We got James Santel. Man, we got some really smart legal eagles coming in, Mark. So we'll make sure we pass along your regards.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, these guys, you know, that, you know, Madison Cawthorn, you brought him up, and apparently the Trump judge says, well, the 14th Amendment doesn't really apply anymore. Well, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, and Jim Santel certainly will, that I didn't think an act could overturn an amendment to the Constitution because it doesn't say, it didn't reference that particular rebellion or insurrection as far as the Civil War, you know, for the 14th Amendment to apply. It applied to, you know, future events as well. And these, you know, traitorous criminals, you know, which they are, that if they participated in the insurrection and planning for this and trying to overthrow our government, they should be held to account under the 14th Amendment, and they should be bounced out on their ear. And unless two-thirds of the remaining Congress says you can serve, they shouldn't get a chance to run again.
I don't disagree with you. Mark, let me quote John Bolton. I think one of the reasons that Putin did not move during Trump's term in office was he saw the president's hostility of NATO. It was widely reported in the American media. And to Putin's mind, it's a binary proposition. A weaker NATO is a stronger Russia. Bolton went on. Putin saw Trump doing a lot of his work for him and thought maybe in a second term, Trump would make good on his desire to get out of NATO. And then it would just ease Putin's path just that much more. Trump undermined NATO during his term in office in 2018. He privately discussed withdrawing the United States from the alliance, raising concerns about national security officials. Bolton, during his remarks at the virtual event, this was just this week, said, I thought he put his foot over it, but at least he didn't withdraw then. In the second Trump term, I think he may well have withdrawn from NATO, and I think that Pooty Putin was waiting for that.
And how would that have made America give us a better position in the world?
Joe Biden's weak. Afghanistan. I see you waiting, CJ. Maybe we'll get to your call next. 844-967-2789. Make a little birdhouse
in your soul. Communicating. Keeping up foreign relations. I was, giving him the bird. You know, the finger.
Yes, I know the finger.
Bolton?
That's me.
Wow, is that your real name?